The use of covenants serves several purposes. Revelation, covenants disclose God's intentions and expectations, providing clarity to his people, how God relates to his people through covenant. Relationship, they formalize the bond between God and his people, highlighting mutual commitments. Redemption, through covenants, God unfolds his plan for salvation, progressively revealing the means by which he will redeem and restore his people. So, as we understand it, it's characterized by sovereignty. God does it. He is the supreme authority. He graciously initiates the covenant. Adam's covenant? Gracious? Yes. While some covenants, like the covenant works, have some aspects of obedience tied to them, as we'll see, the overarching narrative reveals God's gracious provision for redemption by grace. Covenants include divine promises and human responsibilities, and they outline the framework for interaction between God and his people. Covenant of works, covenant of grace, inside time. Covenant of works or covenant of life. Why life?
Because Adam had to work to live. He had to be perfect in order to live.
If he did, what would have happened?
No fall.
No fall, right? Where would he have been?
In the garden.
In the garden. Is that better?
No.
No. Covenant of grace or covenant of
redemption.
Faith. Covenant of redemption is outside of time. That's the big plan. The Council of Peace. God is pleased in all times and ages, from the beginning to the end of the world, to deal with his church and people by way of covenant. Covenants are God's chosen means of binding himself to his people and of establishing promises and duties in their relationship. So that method underscores his sovereignty and commitment to bring about redemption. Psalm 105:8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So God, in all ages, is pleased to deal with his church and people by way of covenant for various causes and various ends. Why would he deal with them by way of covenant? One, to reveal his attributes. Covenants display God's wisdom, justice, mercy. So attributes is his important one. To secure his promises. They confirm to believers the immutability of God's word. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Psalm 89:34. So, promises. Promises, promises. To establish communion through covenants, God brings his people into fellowship with him. And I would dwell among the children of Israel and would be their God. Exodus 29:45. Communion. And to show man's duty. Covenants remind us of our responsibility to love and obey God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6:5. The first covenant that God made with man, right? Remember we had that little side note of creation before, but with man was the covenant of work established with Adam before the fall. And this covenant was not negotiated, was it? No. It was sovereignly imposed by God, requiring Adam's perfect obedience as the condition for life. Right? Perfect. Perpetual. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God made a covenant of works with Adam upon perpetual obedience and perfect obedience. Perpetual means what?
Continuing, never ending.
And perfect is?
followers.
In what respect?
Every
way. What?
Morally, spiritually, every way.
Every way. Mm-hmm. A person desires, they want to go and pray, and so they go and pray. Have they prayed to the highest degree that they could? Okay, so when we talk about perfect, we're talking about not only doing it, and not only doing it perfectly, but doing it to the highest degree, the way that God would do it, if God were to do something. The covenant of works was a binding agreement between God and Adam, who acted as the representative head for all humanity. We call this representation federal headship. Adam represented everyone that Adam represented. Jesus represents everyone that Jesus represents. And whatever they do, that representation is on their behalf. So, Adam's faithfulness would secure eternal blessings for himself and his descendants, while his failure would bring sin and death into the world. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Key elements of the covenant of works. The parties. Who are the parties? God and Adam. God as the holy creator, sovereign in his authority, and Adam created in God's image is appointed as the federal head of all humanity for all time. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Romans 5:14. The condition was Adam's perfect obedience to what?
God's law.
So, perpetual and perfect obedience to God's law. The command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a specific test of his faith and submission to God's authority. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Genesis 2:17. What was the promise? The covenant promised eternal life, symbolized by the tree of life in the garden, and that life encompassed not just physical exercise, existence, but eternal fellowship with God. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, Genesis 2:19. So there was a promise, and then there was also in the stipulation of obedience a curse. We call that a penalty. The penalty for breaking the covenant was?
Death.
What kind of death?
Spiritual. And physical.
Physical, spiritual, and?
Eternal.
Eternal. Right? So penalty. Promise and penalty. The penalty for breaking the covenant was death, spiritual, physical, eternal. Adam's failure would bring separation from God, corruption of his nature, and the certainty of physical mortality. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Breaking the covenant. When did he break it?
When he ate the fruit.
When?
When he ate the fruit.
When he ate the fruit? Mm-hmm. What was that? How long was he in the garden? Mm-hmm. Did he have stuff to do? What did he do?
He was first given to name the animals.
Right? That would take a little while.
Yeah. A lot.
Right? There's a lot of animals. Right? Now what else happened? Then God put him in a deep sleep. Gave him a wife. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And there was interaction. So there was interaction in the garden with other beings. Angels, spiritual beings, the two of them walking with God in the cool of the day, that occurred. How many times? We don't know how many times. A week, a month, a day? We don't know. Adam transgressed the covenant by eating the forbidden fruit. Who ate it first? Why didn't we fall on Eve?
Headship.
Federal headship. Who was she under? Adam. That act of rebellion corrupted the human nature and alienated man from God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3:6. Whereof, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Romans 5:12. Although the covenant of works was broken, it served to magnify the necessity of Christ, the second Adam, which is why we call him the second Adam. Adam's failure highlighted man's need for a Savior who could fulfill the law perfectly. And Christ, the second Adam, accomplished this work, securing eternal blessings for his people. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:4. The covenant of works revealed God's holiness and humanity's inability to achieve righteousness on their own. Why did Adam fall? Wasn't he perfect?
Because he had the ability to sin.
He was mutable. He had the ability to sin. Why did he do it?
He wanted to.
What?
God permitted it.
He permitted it. He decreed it. Yeah. Okay, but why did he do it?
Bring about.
You're a perfect, think about it. It's hard for fallen people to think about it, but you're a perfect person. Perfect. You have no sin. He sinned. Why did he do it?
God.
We know how he did it. Well, why did he do it?
God allowed, from what I understand, God allowed certain grace to be removed, to test. Like supporting grace, I think is what it's called.
Perkins, William Perkins, I think has the best answer, which runs along those particular lines. And he said it this way. Adam's a staff, and the Holy Spirit's holding him. What happens when you let go? What did he do to the staff? What did the Holy Spirit do to the staff? But what did he do to it?
Nothing.
Same staff, no change, but when you let it go, it falls. We'll stop there.